Welcome to Day Zero Update for August 20th, 2023. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkin.
Yeah, just a two-man crew this week, but we have plenty of news.
Oh, yeah.
We've got news on games deciding to come out at the end of this month where 50 other indie games are coming out. They're saying, fuck it, we're coming out too.
Yep.
At the same time, we got two games that have been in October have been moved one forward and one backwards. Tell you which ones. As well as we have some other delay news here. One that might have come out later this year, but will be coming out next year. We'll tell you more about that. A Walking Dead game I'm surprised we have not gotten ever.
Yep. Yeah, honestly.
So there's that. Usually they're just like, we're telling our own story or the story of this different character. And this one's like, hey, what if we do the story of the show that people like?
Oh, yeah.
Especially the parts of the show that people like.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain thing that happens where you can find the ratings just fall off a cliff when a certain character maybe doesn't show up anymore.
Yeah.
And then that's the story of the show. But there's still people that like the show.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we've got that. We got news on who it was that blew up the deal with Embracer Group that has caused them to have financial panic attacks, having to embrace shutting down studios and canceling games and such. We'll tell you more about that.
Yeah, let's just say it's probably who you think it's going to be.
Yeah. And, yeah, we got some Xbox news as well. One good, one bad.
Yep.
We'll tell you more about that later. But before we do all that, we'll talk what we've been playing. And I've been playing some Everspace 2. This is on Game Pass, as well as PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. I've been playing it on my Xbox Series X. Yep. I think it's been on PC Game Pass for a while because it was in early access. But it just launched on the new consoles here. In the past week, and it seems like at launch, the PS5 version was the better version because the Xbox version had nasty stuttering issues that were pretty annoying. You can take a look at the archive of the video, the stream I did earlier this week, where that kept happening. I was like, ooh, and I had to keep looking over my TV, make sure it's the TV that's doing it. Sometimes it's just the capture software having issues, but this was like, nope, this is the game. It's struggling here, and none of the other versions really having that. So luckily the devs figured it out pretty quickly and put out an update to fix it. So I did a second stream. And this is a space shooter that is focused on loot mechanics, which I don't think is a thing you typically get too often. Outside of maybe just general ways to upgrade your ship, maybe. But this is straight on loot of having like a main and a secondary gun, having some missile options. And yeah, it's one of those kind of shooters that is so extremely busy on the controls that they present you at the front. Like, here's two different main control schemes we could figure out to do the best of what we wanted. Which, like, the boost is on the left stick as far as pushing it in. Rolling, you have to push in the right stick and then move it left or right to roll, which is like, ew. So I don't ever do rolling. Just the natural way you fly around in space, you kind of just end up rolling around anyway. So I don't deal with that too much. But you're kind of going around picking up stuff as you go, as you kill enemies. Sometimes they might drop some, you know, some gold or materials or it's credits instead of gold. Or maybe some loot. You'll find, you know, boxes you find around. So like sealed boxes kind of stuff that you go and pull out stuff. So you can get equipment through that. So you can look at its stats, and there's like two different kinds of energy used to attack enemies. And so you might have weapons that deal with more one side or the other, and that depends on whether you want to work through their shields or not, kind of stuff. The missile's been pretty good. I had like a level one, so I unlocked crafting, and that's when the already busy menus just got busier, and I was like, I was almost like, I'm gonna save and quit and go do something else, because it's just so much to look at. But that let me craft some materials I've been needing and just couldn't find. Sometimes you go around and find, you know, crystals on a asteroid or whatever.
Yeah.
Or iron or what's the other one? Copper, maybe, whatever the materials I've been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But you have perks for your companions that improve different abilities. And so I've been like trying to get, you know, plasma and some of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can occasionally run into shops where you can maybe buy some of that stuff. But this was like stuff I was not able to get to
mm-hmm.
anywhere. So I was driving myself nuts. I was like, this is 4 hours in. How am I not able to upgrade any of this stuff? But once the crafting stuff came into play, that was where it kind of got better. And so, yeah, I was able to make the stuff I needed. Got the one upgrade, which allowed me to pull stuff in from twice the distance. It was like 400 meters initially. Now it's 800.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to get as close, which is great. Because the other big issue I have is that visibility of the icons to tell you, like, oh, here's something you can pick up. Mm-hmm. It's just a little, like, black and white symbol.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's all over space?
Mm.
Big white objects in a black background.
Mm.
So it can be hard to see that stuff, especially because there's stuff that hasn't already presented itself to you, does not show up until you're within a certain amount of range. So it can be kind of tedious to just fly around and be like, is there anything here?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I assume it improves at some point later on. But the improvements of the system I have has been kind of like, oh, it's, you know, 1,000 meters, you know, 1,500 meters kind of stuff, like very slight improvements on it in a way that's like a little bit disappointing. And I'm hoping it's not like, I think it was the Division that was the game where I was like, this stuff is only improving by like less than 1% of stats. And that's super boring because you're not getting like any like legendary items or anything like out of the usual, you know, ridiculous things that you like to get every once in a while, at least in loot games, that make it, you know, interesting versus just, this is like, there's like two more damage. So, that's not nothing, but it's not anything interesting either. So, but this game kind of is a little bit better than that. Usually it's like different types of weapons or different things that have, you know, different priorities of what stats it does. Though some of them are just, it's slightly better, so you might as well equip it. But yeah, once I've been selling a lot of that stuff, and you know, you don't get much out of it, but once you get the crafting, you can break it down into parts, and that's where you can start improving your weapons or whatever. I think it's like one rarity level up. So if it's common, you can turn it up to uncommon. You can also improve, I think, just one level. So from level 1 to level 2 or 3 to 4, whatever it is. It's kind of a weird little system when they introduce it. But I think it's so that you don't improve things, you know, infinitely. So that you eventually have to be like, okay, this is cutting it in. But so far it's been not too big of a deal. But yeah, this is one of those kind of space shooters that just throws a lot at you, because there's still systems for you can buy new ships kind of thing that you can, you know, replace it. And there's a variety of different kinds of ships there that can deal with it. So when I bought my first new ship, the big issue I was having is like, do all my equipment move over? It's not saying anything. Just show me stats, and I'm like, is this with or without that? And I think it was all with it, but I had to like buy it and see if everything came over or not, because you have the option to like, oh, buy this and just send it back to my base kind of thing, or, you know, equip the new ship and send my old one back to base kind of thing. That kind of stuff, where the tutorial system's not the greatest. It's okay. But I do have had a lot of questions of like, well, this is telling me some things, but what about, you know, this thing? Is there something for that? And I think a lot of it is you just have to go through the menus and kind of highlight stuff it's not always obvious that you can highlight a lot of the stat categories to have it explained to you. I got aware of like certain kinds of stats just because I saw it in common gear can sometimes have like an extra perk on it that's like, oh, it's plus this, you know, type of stat, or this, you know, had one that was like, oh, when you're in the sunlight, you get plus 5% damage. I'm like, in the sunlight? How the hell do I tell that? Kind of thing. But yeah. So there's a lot of that. You get the ability to take up jobs from certain merchants for that stuff. So that's extra money and XP you can get there for taking on some combat stuff or non-combat stuff. Yeah, it's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's great or anything. Because, yeah, the controls take a while to get used to. And even then, there's sometimes it just doesn't make it as easy to fly around as you would like to deal with certain things for that stuff. So, yeah, it's a pretty solid game. The story is kind of uninteresting. I just have not really enjoyed any of it. You're a clone from the Clone War that... Afterwards, they outlawed cloning in the entire galaxy or whatever. So you're kind of one of the last ones of your kind, I guess, that hasn't been rounded up. But, you know, the space government has found you to be a clone. And so you're on like their bad list kind of thing. So you're kind of trying to deal with that as well as trying to figure out what's going on. Because you start on like a big job with this group that... goes bad, and mm-hmm. you and your buddy get captured by the outlaws.
Yeah.
Managed to escape because of they were getting attacked by somebody. So you managed to get out in all the chaos, and so you're trying to help your buddy out because he's been critically injured, and deal with this new buddy you've made who's got his own things going on and just trying to make sense of whatever happened here. So it's a lot of that. It's like very generic kind of sci-fi stuff. And the music's okay as well. I've turned it down a good bit because it just has like sound effects to it that annoy me after hearing it for, you know, 3-4 hours kind of stuff where it's like it's not even all that good. So I'm probably going to start muting it pretty soon. Just make it easier to have a podcast or whatever on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that game's all right. It's on Game Pass. Check it out. Probably not worth $50 unless you're really into that kind of game, but yeah, everything else has been pretty solid in it so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely one of those games where it has achievements for, you know, 100% every area, you know, complete all the missions, complete all the racing missions. I haven't gotten to racing stuff, and I'm like, why would I want a racing mission in a space shooter kind of stuff? And it's like all mm-hmm. like that, so it's like, eh. I probably won't do all that much, depending on how much there is in this game, because it's a whole lot. You spend a lot of time in the menus trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's Everspace 2. Also been playing some more Baldur's Gate 3, put about another hour or so into this. So I completed a good combat scenario
mm-hmm.
Involving this sanctuary of sorts that
mm-hmm.
has gotten attacked by goblins, and that has caused some...
I'm guessing you're still in Act 1, right?
Yeah.
I'm all like right.
7.5 hours into the game, so...
All right.
Still early on, but I'm trying to go talk to people and try to figure out if they can maybe not expel everybody
mm-hmm.
because of some of these... this combat being brought back to their sanctuary mm-hmm. kind of thing. Which also brought me back to another thing I like to do in that game, which is loot. Because there's a lot of crates and such I didn't realize were just lootable.
Mm-hmm.
You just hover over it. If it's got a... if it's not like a red chest looting icon, then you can take stuff out of it. If it is, you probably shouldn't, because you'll probably get caught by somebody and probably suffer some consequences.
Mm.
But yeah, still liking that a lot. I'm hoping to get some more time into that this week. Let's see. I'm playing more Pikmin 4. I've beaten it, technically. Got the first credits, where then They're like, oh no, we got to do something else on this planet. And they fly back to do more stuff. And it opens up some more maps. I think it's two more maps from what I've seen so far. So that's good. More stuff. And those maps seem less like, you just need 100 of these Pikmin and you'll be able to do most everything.
Yeah.
And it's it does a good job of kind of keeping you off guard with a lot of the mechanics they throw out there and just kind of making you have to think on your feet. And maybe I'm still trying to do 100 of one type of Pikmin, but I'm also running back and forth or just moving the base around. That's one of the nice things you can do is you don't have to run all the way back to one base. You can just be like, oh, there's another one over here. I can just go over here. It brings all the Pikmin that were sitting there, all that kind of stuff. So it's some good quality of life stuff. They do open up another big, interesting bit of storytelling that involves Olimar. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a marathon mode of sorts, trying to do a certain thing involving what he was doing before you showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole thing, kind of reminiscent of maybe like the first Pikmin game, but easier because I beat it in like 3 hours and didn't fail it at the end. So that was good, especially when they're like, oh, it's the last day. You need to get the parts or else I'm going to die here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them within half of the day. So
yeah,
it's a pretty good little thing, but it's a marathon. As far as I could see, you could probably quit out, but I just ended up just pushing through for that. And then that opens up another thing that's like more challenge stuff. So yeah, there's still a lot more to do in this game, which I think is the coolest thing about it so far is it's not like Pikmin 1 where you just play 30 days and then if you don't get everything, then you're screwed and you got to start over again. And that's the game. You just try and do it faster, I guess. This one has a lot more to it, so makes it better worth that value. So there you go for Pikmin 4. The other game I've been playing some is Madden 24. I got the EA Play trial before launch. Played some of it. What I end up doing, since I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, I take Deshaun Watson. I turn all of his stats down until he's like a level 12 or 12 overall player. Cause he's a piece of shit. Then I cut him so nobody else will ever sign him because he's a 12 overall player. And then I started a rookie that we have this year that has done pretty well in preseason games, nicknamed DTR. I think his, Dorian Thompson Robinson is his name. I've been playing with him as the starter kind of thing, and he's been pretty good. I won my first game, though I had weird issues where it was causing my PS5 to shut off. I don't know if it was like overheating or something. It was the first time I've ever seen anything like it. It just looked like the power went off on it, and I was like, I don't know why the power would go off on just the PS5 and nothing else around here, but it might have been just causing some sort of power thing. That was a bit of an issue, but I eventually got a game going and didn't have it crash during it. Though it does let you continue it, but I think at a certain point it was trying to load my save and just giving up. So I just deleted it and started over again on that game. So I eventually ended up winning. So that was nice. I'm basically playing it with the only thing they really have to change control-wise is on the way the passing game works. And so they have fancy, newer versions that have like more depth to them, I guess. But I'm just playing with the old-school style system where you don't have to sit here and hit the analog stick in different directions to try to set the ball in different places kind of stuff as you're throwing it. So I've tried to learn that stuff in the tutorials, and I just don't get it. So I just moved on. And now in casual Madden mode. So that's been pretty much it for me. So, Brandon, what have you been doing?
Well, other than, sort of serendipitous Baldur's Gate 3 in my head, because, I still won't be able to play that until about 2 weeks and some change. Yeah, like 2.5 weeks. So, like, it's on 6th. So I'm just sort of getting information, watching other. I'll do some playthroughs, seeing just the sheer weird amount of stuff that can happen in that game, it's strange how, if there's one thing that I've sort of gotten from watching other people play this game, it's the fact that it is shocking the amount of possibilities that they managed to cram into that game. Whether it's, you know, just being able to think outside of the box with things. If there's something that is flammable, you can almost certainly set it on fire, even during combat. There's ways to talk a bunch of major enemies out of actually fighting them. There's one particular instance I discovered where someone managed to... He kept going up against this giant character that kept killing him, and he discovered that there was actually like an option that you could challenge this dude to a drinking game. And if your constitution is high enough, you can actually beat him at the drinking game. And he ends up drinking so much that it basically makes him explode. And, it, you know, there was no combat needed. That's just, it's amazing that they put that in the game. But on top of that, you know, I'm still playing Train on Media Molecule's Dreams. And that game gets actually more difficult as the game goes on. Once you get to a certain point, you'll start dealing with things like... one of the things in the game, like if you're... Because I mentioned how like a lot of these things are like time trials mostly, which is true for basically the majority of the levels involved. But there are ways you can like shave off seconds from your time if you're trying to get like the maximum, you know, number of points from it. And that includes things like doing flips through ramps, or like being able to like carry a bunch of train cars along with you to the finish line, which is stuff that you can totally do. But later on in the game, they'll also start using those train cars as like gatekeeping devices. You'll come across like these numbered gates, and in order to pass through them, you'll have to like hit a button or something, or make something else hit a button to open them. One of the things that will end up happening is you'll have to get a certain number of train cars, and then you'll have to go up to these like barriers where the actual train itself will be stopped, but the cars can like pass under through it, and you need like a line of cars long enough so that it goes up. Yeah, it's usually a ramp. It goes up the ramp to be long enough so that it can press the button at the top. I've also come across ones where you need to take one or two cars with you and then decouple them at the barrier, but you have to do it with enough momentum so that they can go down these ramps on these tracks so that they can get to the bottom and have enough momentum that they hit the button at the bottom. And there's some other obstacles I've come across as well, but it's surprising how the game itself is not complicated at all, but it's very difficult to master. That's really cliche, but it's definitely true here. And, I mean, like, overall, it is a very pleasant and very chill game, but it can get surprisingly difficult later on. Now than that, I can finally sort of talk about what that secret game is that I've been playing recently. It is Blasphemous 2, which is the sequel to the sort of indie Souls-like darling Blasphemous that came out a couple years ago. And if you've played that first game, you pretty much have a good idea of like what you're in for this time around. It still relies heavily on that really morbid Spanish Catholic imagery, you know, based around, you know, like the Renaissance and Counter-Reformation artwork and images of like martyrs and stuff like that. The difference this time, however, is one, there's been a time skip after the canonical ending, which is related to like the DLC that came with the first game. So basically, once again, you are playing the Penitent One a few years after the end of that DLC, where apparently the Grievous Miracle has made itself manifest again for reasons I haven't quite figured out yet. But the basically, you're once again going through Custodia, and you're going through mostly new places. There are some ruins of like older locations that you'll go into later on that are like underground because, you know, it's been a while and things have gotten buried. So like the ruin of the Holy of Holies, which is like one of the major areas from the first game, you'll encounter it. It's hidden. It's like buried underneath the actual city. There is a bunch of like new areas, like the aqueducts. There's the Palace of Embroideries, which is basically like a, it's like this, it's made out of like an old mansion. It's very Castlevania-esque in its sort of approach. There's also, what else? There's like the Street of Wakes, which is like this underground city that's like pure, like permanently in funeral mode, and it's like haunted by old ladies with like chain flails and like ghosts floating around in coffins and stuff like that. One of the big differences between this and the first game is that this game has not one but three different weapons that you'll be using. Because, you know, the old sword that you used in the first game, you know, it's gone now. It was used up and it's no longer able to be used. So you've got three new weapons. And you end up, you can actually, like, choose which of these weapons you will start with when you start the game. And these weapons include a standard sword, much like the first one. And then after that, after you choose that first weapon, you then are stuck with that weapon for a little while. You can go into areas and get the other two weapons. In fact, you have to, because there are parts of the game that you can't access until you get those weapons. But the other weapons include a combination of a rapier and a stiletto knife that is lightning charged, and you can use it to, if you hit, it's like the fastest weapon in the game, but it's also the weakest. But if you hit an enemy enough times, you can get like a lightning charge of it and start hitting enemies with lightning damage. The other is, they call it a battle sensor because it resembles like one of those sensors on a chain that they use in a cathedral to, you know, move incense around and stuff. But it, for all intents and purposes, it's basically, it's a chain flail. It's a huge mace that's connected to a chain. And it also has fire damage attack to it. So if you are, it's the strongest weapon in the game, but it's also the slowest. But it also happens to have the largest reach as well. And the reason you need these other two weapons, other than the fact that, you know, certain enemies and certain bosses are stronger or weaker against them, is that they also give you access to parts of the game. So like, for example, the battle sensor. There are these bells that you'll come across that you need to ring with this mace, because what it does is it'll create platforms and also open certain doors that are within range of the bell's ring. Now, the problem, of course, is the ring doesn't last forever, so you kind of have to go at a good pace, because eventually those doors will close and those platforms will disappear. As for the lightning, as for the, you know, the rapier and stiletto, but you'll come across these mirrors that are held up by like these cherub figures, and if you strike them with the rapier, it'll basically like teleport you in whatever direction that the mirror is reflecting light to, so that you'll, it'll get you like higher grounds. It'll also help you like these grates that'll sometimes are separating areas, and I'm getting fairly far into the game, but the problem is I may have hit a bug that may or may not prevent me from getting any further. I'm in contact with the developers right now, and they're going to let me know what happens. But yeah, but that game is actually like legitimately a lot of fun. It's also much more of a Metroidvania than the original game was. The first game definitely had like different areas that you could go to, but it didn't really have anything like a hub area, and it was a lot more linear than it originally lets on. In this case, though, there's a lot more options available to you as far as where you want to go. And there's also a lot more like different you know, like stores and shops that you can enter. One of the sort of major parts of this game that is different from the first one is that you now have a like altar piece on your back, and in that altar piece you can insert these various like wooden figures of like saints and martyrs and whatever, and each of them will have like a you know, an effect on, like, it'll increase damage or reduce the type of damage from a certain elemental attack or physical attack, stuff like that. There's one that will also, like, give you more critical, more chance for critical hits, but it also is, it's also brittle, and you have to, like, get it repaired every so often. The way you get these various little figures is either you find them in the game or you go to the sculptor in the hub area where you can trade him things like tools and mementos and he will make new figures for you. There's also like a regular store where you can buy stuff. There's this traveling group of merchants that you'll come across once or twice that'll have like specific items that you can buy from them at that moment. There's also areas like where you can like increase like your life area or like get more vials so you can, you know, you can, you know, life, you get, you know, like sort of like the stuff that you get in a Dark Souls game where you can, you know, regenerate your health. And that one is particular weird because, well, not weird so much as messed up because, you know, again, this is the Blasphemous game. So everything is giant and nightmarish to look at. And that particular figure you have to go to, you have to bring her things like chalices that will increase your, you know, your health. There's also one where you can give her like crystal shards that will then be used to increase the power of the vials to regain more health when you need to use them. And of course, there are vials themselves that will increase the numbers of those you can do. And every time you come back and talk to her again, more and more of her arm is being flayed off, and so like her skin is being held by like these cherubs, you know, very, very, you know, Renaissance era martyr imagery, heavy on that. There's a lot of stuff like that in this game, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's also, I'm not sure if it's less difficult than the first Blasphemous was. It might be because I've just gotten better at these type of games the more I've played them. But it's definitely very enjoyable. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so let's get into some news here. And first up, we've got Game Pass. They have announced the lineup for the rest of the month.
Yep.
Basically going right up to Starfield's launch, right before that at least. But yeah, they announced, let's see, Everspace 2, talked about that. That's available now. Also available now, Firewatch, which is a really cool first-person narrative adventure game. If you've not played that one yet, that's one that's worth checking out as you try and figure out the mystery of what's going on in this, where is it, Wyoming? As you're sort of a fire watcher, sort of keeping an eye out for mischief in the park, in the woods and all that, and all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Also available now, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
yeah,
which is a 4v1 based on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. So you kind of get a lot of that kind of fun stuff to it. I've been hearing it seems like one to check out if you got people to play with. But that's it for the stuff that's available now. For coming in the near future, there's Sea of Stars for August 29th. That is, let's see, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
That'll also be on PlayStation Plus at launch. Yeah, it's a pretty good game from what I've seen so far. The only real negatives about this is sort of the stuff that's been hanging over it about their previous game that had a character based on Jordan Peterson that people never really got great answers for, sort of if that was... That person still works on this game, and seemingly they do, but they also seem to be posting less like right-wing stuff and more like pro-trans stuff, and it's sort of a very confusing sort of thing that they're just not talking about at all, so people are just kind of in this weird place where they don't want to support this kind of game with all this kind of cloudy stuff hanging over it for a game that people otherwise would be really excited about. So it's at least a good way to play it without directly supporting them. You can get it here on Game Pass as well as PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium. So you can check that out for some classic style JRPG fun, I guess. And yeah, let's see. The other game they have on here on September 5th, which one is that? That's this Tuesday after next. Gris, which is a narrative game that I think originally launched on mobile that came to consoles sometime later. Supposed to be a very good game.
Yeah.
But that one's well after launch, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I've played that. It's essentially a... it's like a surreal sort of puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good, and it's gorgeous to look at.
Yeah. So yeah, there's those games. So they stop on September 5th, and now don't mention like the game that comes out the day after that, which is Starfield. So I assume their next announcement is going to be of titles is going to be like, hey, Starfield. They do mention that you can pay for what is this? I forget what this is called. There's like a digital premium upgrade, which is like $35 to get you early access to the game on the first, I believe. Though I do not believe you get the game itself, which is like a thing I think is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're Microsoft. Let them, if they're, say it's an Ultimate perk, Game Pass Ultimate perk.
Yeah.
Where they get this and they get, you know, the game as well as part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you get up to 5 days early, you get the first expansion whenever that's out. And a skin pack and art book and, you know, soundtrack stuff.
Yeah.
But the game itself you do not own. It's like you're spending $35 on a game you don't own. That's maybe like, it's kind of shitty right there. Especially if they're not going to offer like a cheaper bundle for Game Pass. Because if you want the premium edition for just to also have the game, that's $100. And so it's like, okay, that's a lot much, but 35 is also not nothing to sneeze at either. So, yeah. There's your Starfield update. I think they're doing reloading right now on Xbox, and PC might be sometime next week, the 30th maybe. Yeah. So people still have a ways to go for that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There you go. Game Pass stuff.
Yeah.
Couple of things here, but it's slow going until Sea of Stars and Starfield launch.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. There you go for that. But also out now is a demo for Samba de Amigo Party Central on the Switch. So you can check that out now and see how you play that on a Switch. I think it's with the Joy-Cons. You just shake those. But that's... pretty different from what the original was, where you had fairly long cables to deal with on the Maraca controllers, and gave it a little bit more of a tactile feel to it, in a way, because I believe they also had like the beans in them to shake as well. But they do say there's two songs in this, Shake Sonora by Pitbull, so that must be a cover. I know that original song, that's a classic. And there's TikTok by Kesha.
That's Harry Belafonte, isn't it?
Something like that. I think it's the song that's in Beetlejuice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right at the very end, I remember.
Yeah. And then there's TikTok by Kesha, which is her one song that I know of. Maybe a couple others, but that's the one I definitely know that's a Kesha song. For that, so yeah, you just get those two songs to check out, but that'll be out August 29th. Again, one of the 50 games coming out on August 29th. So there's another one. And if you need another game that's also coming out on August 29th, there is The Making of Karateka. We talked about that a little while ago when it got announced that It is digital clips, sort of taking the style approach they did for the Atari 50 collection and doing that on one game.
Mm-hmm.
A game that is incredibly influential, Karateka, that came out back in 1984, was a big deal because Jordan Mechner was just a college student then. He was a teenager. Sort of came up with this idea for this game that stood out from a lot of games at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially a game where you're running from left to right, like a modern, brawler kind of thing. But, instead of it stopping and forcing into, a screen to fight certain enemies,
mm-hmm.
you just kind of had enemies approaching you until you got to certain checkpoints
mm-hmm.
On the screen. And occasionally a bird would come in and just fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the more infamous enemies, but this collection sort of celebrates all that with a number of versions of the game in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if they list all of them here. No. But I think it's some of the classic versions, and there's a new remastered version
mm-hmm.
that features some extra content in it that was cut from originally with some commentary, achievements, and all that. There's also an extra game called Death Bounce Rebounded, which is a twin-stick shooter based on Jordan's unpublished prototype. So they kind of finished that as like an extra thing here, but you get a lot of extra content here. Lots of quality of life features added to the games, like Save Anywhere, Rewind, Chapter Select, and Director's Commentary. You can check out some prototypes and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, this is what I want out of some of these kind of games. Like, Duke Nukem Forever was a game that came out and kind of just came and went because it was one of the most infamous kind of failures of a game because it took them damn near like 15, 20 years to finish. And it's like, it would have been better if that game came out as just like a celebration of the game finally getting finished and having like different builds of the game over the year that you could kind of play, that kind of stuff. So you could play the finished game if you wanted, as well as like different versions, because they moved engines from time to time whenever a new one came out that seemed like it was better fitting for whatever they wanted to make at that time. So that's kind of the idea that this is like, oh, here's all this extra content. Kind of a game that was made. It was kind of an indie game of sorts at that time.
Yeah.
Being made by a college student who had his dad make music for it.
Yep.
Kind of did the animation by literally just filming somebody doing the moves.
Pretty sure it was either his brother or his cousin that he got to do it. And yeah, he filmed it all. And he basically like translated it to, pixels on a computer screen. It was pretty amazing for its time.
Yeah, a rotoscoping style animation.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. And yeah, it's really cool kind of collection here. I don't think it includes the XBLA PSN remake. That would have been cool, but that's an Ubisoft game, so I don't know that Jordan has any sort of rights to that.
Mm.
Which would have been nice to see included as like the one version of that game that probably more people today have played than the original. But yeah, that's out August 29th for $20. It's on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and Switch will be in September shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a game I'm looking forward to. So there you go for that.
Yes.
And then this is coming out August 30th first, saying fuck the 29th. Mm-hmm. We're coming out on the last day of the month.
Yep.
TMNT Shredder's Revenge's first DLC, Dimension Shell Shock, will mm-hmm. be out. We got some more details on other stuff includes. So we know it includes the rabbit, Usagi Yojimbo, but also includes Karai, who is a big figure in a lot of the series that have been out there.
Yeah.
I don't think she's in the original show that much, if at all. Mm-hmm. But she's very much presented as like Shredder's second in command.
Yeah.
In a lot of the shows.
I remember because she was the last boss in the fighting game. Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. Yeah, she was the last boss.
that
you bought.
But that's also a game that needs characters, and they're pulling in everybody they can.
Yep.
So yeah, she's a cool character in, I know, the 2003 show. Mm. She is a primary figure in there where she's very much the turtle's enemy, but there comes times where she has to align herself with the turtles for the good of, you know, Earth and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very much kind of one of those kind of figures.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's cool. This is going to be $8, includes that. It also has like a, I don't think it's a roguelite mode, but it's something similar, like a survival mode.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff. They also have a new black and white comic panel style filter presentation that
to look like the original comics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you've never read the OG comic, you really should, because they are a trip. Shredder dies in the very first issue, and he's almost never seen again. It's amazing. It's also just better written in general.
Yeah, that's cool. That's out here next week, next Thursday, so that's cool. But yeah, we'll be doing another preview of games coming out in October, November, and December when we get a little bit of a lighter day, although I don't think it'll be next week, because next week is opening night live. That kind of came up at Gamescom. That's Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m., right in the middle of me working, so won't be streaming that or anything. Unfortunately, but we'll probably have some news out of that, though. Jeff Keighley is trying to tell everybody, like, don't expect, like, big earth-shattering news here. A lot of games that have been out for, or been known for a while are going to be shown there. But yeah, we got one game here, Assassin's Creed Mirage, that was supposed to come out, I think, the 12th. But now it's coming out October 5th as they hit gold ahead of schedule. So they're like, hey, we'll put it out earlier. Get away from the other games coming out there, Spider-Man and some of that kind of stuff there. So that's probably a good move for them to get out of the way. Yeah, Super Mario Brothers Wonder is also on October 20th. So they're kind of giving themselves a little more room there. And yeah, that's it's an Assassin's Creed game that's $50. Supposed to be more in line with some of the original like Ezio games in terms of style and scope and all that. So that might be cool for that. So yeah, you can check that out. It's a little bit earlier. Unfortunately, another release in October got delayed. Alan Wake 2. I was supposed to come out October 17th, right before the buzzsaw of Spider-Man and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. So they said, like, hey, we'll come out 10 days later, October 27th.
Yeah.
Dealing with a lot of the... pushing a little closer to Halloween, so to feel the spooky vibes there for that. So that seems like it's more of a strategic move than one where they need extra time to finish the game.
Yeah, but it's also, right, so, you know, their games tend to be really well polished when they come out, so.
Yeah, usually. Let's see.
Usually.
I think Control had some issues a bit.
It had a couple due to the fact that you levitate people and shit, but most of it was pretty good, worked fantastically. Honestly, I can't wait to play this. I only got to play Alan Wake through the remaster that came out a little while back and absolutely loved it. And I think a lot of people, that game famously had a really like troubled development cycle because like the overall like design philosophy for it kept changing. It was originally supposed to be like an open world game, which when you play the game and see like how really just unusually open-ended a lot of the environments are, it suddenly all makes sense. Because most of these were made for what was originally supposed to be a sandbox game. They made it a more focused experience, and it ended up being amazing. And also one of the most stressful gaming experiences I've ever had, because the whole thing shtick with that game is you can't attack any of the enemies until you shine them with your flashlight long enough to like banish the shadow or whatever. and then you can actually physically attack them. And of course, you have to deal with, like, you know, your weapons decaying or, you know, running out of ammo. And you also, like, they don't come one at a time. There's, like, a bunch of them that show up at once. So you end up having to get, like, flashbangs and stuff that essentially work as grenades for it. And it's just, yeah, great game. Really got my blood pressure going.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll take a little bit longer to get out, but still not too much of a wait.
Yeah.
But for a game that you do have to wait for a while longer, Pacific Drive.
Yep.
This was announced at, I think, one of the State of Plays last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be out sometime this year, mm-hmm. but they have announced that they are delaying it to early 2024.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that, you know, you won't have to wait long to see more of it, as they mm-hmm. are going to have it at the Future Games Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
During Gamescom, so you'll be able to check it out then.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a good bit in there to show off some more of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the game that is essentially like a spooky drive through a forest, and you're kind of driving mm-hmm. in first person mode, kind of occasionally having to stop off to get fuel or maybe find some supplies to, like, beef up your car's, you know, defenses and whatnot to avoid mm-hmm. enemies and survive attacks and all that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Looking forward to seeing more of this. So that'll be getting at least some showtime here in the next week
mm-hmm.
or so during Gamescom. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. And that's kind of it for dates.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, we do have one game here that got announced.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of one I was surprised had not happened earlier. Yeah. It's called The Walking Dead Destinies,
mm-hmm.
Where you are sort of playing through the stories, the events of the first four seasons of the original AMC series,
mm-hmm.
Which are sort of the most popular parts of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Published by Game Mill Entertainment, which is maybe the big thing, like, okay, probably won't be that good. But it will be on everything. They have no date yet, but have announced it'll be a $50 game.
Mm-hmm.
But they are talking about how you'll have player choices to make throughout it. Mm-hmm. They could change the story and how things go. So you could end up just following the course of the show or making other changes and seeing how things go with that.
Mm.
So it's pretty ambitious for what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see how that all goes. But you do get to, yeah, they say they have 12 characters from the show, including, you know, Rick, Shane, Michonne, Carol, Daryl, and more in there. So that's cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. It probably won't be amazing or anything, but hopefully it's at least an interesting game. As you go through some of those coolest moments from those early part of the show.
Mm.
So yeah, there you go. That's one to keep an eye on. That'll be out at some point. Let's see. Yeah, we've been getting some Like a Dragon, Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name news of late.
Yep.
And particularly this is an interesting one where they are going to include a special trial version mm-hmm. of Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, the sequel to Yakuza 7, Like a mm-hmm. Dragon. So that'll be included. The weird thing they mention, as the name implies, special content with, like, scenes not included in the main game will be unlocked after completing Like a Dragon, Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. Which is interesting. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Mm.
The demo will be different if you've beaten Gaiden.
Yeah.
I don't know what that necessarily entitles. Probably hear more about that as we get closer to launch. Because, yeah, Like a Dragon Gaiden is out November 9th. So that's one you'll be able to play in about 2.5 months here. So that's cool. Some more, another way to get a hold of Infinite Wealth ahead of launch.
Mm-hmm.
Because that'll be early next year. I don't think they've announced a date yet for that. So I do need to get back to Like a Dragon and finish that up. I'm a good bit in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's see here. Yeah, the Embracer Group, not having a great time right now.
No, they are not.
Yeah, they had a big $2 billion deal that they were working on to help sort of keep them going for a while longer that blew up and has caused them to have to reconsider having, you know, dozens of studios and developers sort of working on games and all this. And people are wondering, like, who was the deal with that blew up? And it's like, oh, it has to be Microsoft or Sony, because they're the only big ones like this that would want to work with Embracer. And I was like, well, they just did that deal with Saudi Arabia for like $1 billion a while ago. Maybe it was that. And it ends up that being the case. It was a deal that collapsed with Savvy Games Group, which is backed by the controversial Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, which is led by, you know, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the Saudis, major investor in Embracer Group, mm-hmm. seemed to not like something about this new deal.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was not giving them more of a stake in the company mm-hmm. as a result of helping with them with their financial issues or what. But it definitely has caused a lot of problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of shown the big flaw in this whole just acquire dozens of studios strategy and getting all these IPs and all this that definitely looks like a bad move now. If it's so easily collapsed by not getting $2 billion from the Saudis. And yeah, that's and that just makes it more frustrating because they bought a lot of like solid indie studios that had done a lot of cool work. They could have maybe been better off, you know, not getting acquired by this company and then end up shutting down as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of unfortunate stuff here, but yeah, we haven't heard anything specific about why this all happened, but it seems like very much that it was confirmed to be this. And so yeah, that's the big risk you take when you're relying on this kind of money, especially from these kinds of people that are very much going to make sure it's going to the right place. So yeah, that's unfortunate news for all the people that work under the Embracer Group. Mm-hmm. We'll see how things go for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. Let's get to some Xbox news.
Mm-hmm.
They announced a new enforcement system that is a strike system.
Mm-hmm.
Gives players 8 strikes. A bit of a weird number, but the way that their diagram here sort of explains it is it's kind of a rolling system for every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
If you get points, you know it comes off your profile in 6 months, but you do have opportunities to appeal
mm-hmm.
to see if like it was maybe an overreaction or something, or maybe it gets reduced or whatever. That kind of stuff. They're kind of being very nebulous about what all falls under this kind of stuff, but they do talk about there being, you know, more serious points for, you know, sexually inappropriate actions or hate speech, harassment, bullying, that kind of stuff. So trying to, you know, see how this all goes in a sense of like, is it just going to be salty people that get beaten in, you know, Fortnite or Call of Duty that just leave bad reviews and claim you know, cursed or whatever to get back at you? That's what the classic like Xbox experience was of people just, because they used to have like a player like rating system of sorts of like how trustworthy they were or whatever as a player. That's like a lot of people that played multiplayer and didn't really do anything better than just be good at games often got, you know, rated poorly by people that were just super mad at getting beaten, that kind of stuff. If they didn't just directly send you personal messages with a lot of shit-talking or cursing or threats or whatever at you. So, seems like they're trying to deal with some of that stuff. I don't know how this will end up doing for that. So, yeah, it seems like they also have some means for if you, you know, take a course for, you know, to show you, like, why what you did is wrong, that kind of stuff. You may be able to get points off a little bit faster. So it's like, it's an interesting system. I don't know how well it's going to work. We'll have to see how it goes, but they do have websites up to kind of check if you've got any points on your accounts. But yeah, there you go. That's available now. Any other news? The worst news from Microsoft this week is that the Xbox 360 store will be closing July 29th, 2024, less than a year from now. You'll still be able to keep playing any games you purchase there. This does not also does not affect the backwards compatible stuff that's on the Xbox One and Series X and S storefronts. So it will essentially keep you from purchasing new games, DLC, and other stuff that's on the Xbox 360 storefront. I think Avatar stuff and things like that, which you should not buy the Avatar stuff because it's not doesn't translate forward, really. So that's worth not bothering with. But yeah, anything you've purchased, you'll be able to keep playing and downloading as needed. So they're going to keep that going for the foreseeable future. And yeah, they have a little Q&A here in case you're confused on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
On that stuff, yeah, the backwards compatible stuff will not be affected. Because that stuff is hosted on the Xbox One storefront. So that is used on the Xbox Series X and S as well. As you can tell, if you go look up the old Xbox 360 Marketplace website, that is still there, still looks exactly the same. Barely functions, breaks all the time whenever I look at a thing on there, and I'm always surprised that they never like upgraded that to a more modern, you know, web design standard stuff. But yeah, kind of not a surprise because I think a few months ago we got some sort of early leak of this thing happening. They're like, oh, this is just an error, and it's like, I don't know, it seems to be written pretty well. To suggest that this was the thing that was going to happen. I'm trying to see if I can find it here. Not 100% sure. I think it was probably around here in February. So I think a bunch of games got announced to be delisted. And that was probably part of the rumor mill around then. Is it like the storefront?
Yeah.
As they had, you know, stuff going on that seemed to imply that this was going to happen eventually. Might have delayed the date a little bit, but otherwise it's not really a huge surprise, though kind of ironic in the end that the Xbox 360 storefront will be shutting down before the PS3 one, because they were planning to do that, I think, last year, and then just delayed it indefinitely because of the pushback that people had for shutting that down and the Vita storefront as well. And they have not like made any bones about doing that anytime soon just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get to probably be smug if they want about listening to their audience and keeping that stuff up. So, yeah. Sad news to see the end of that happening, especially if you have moved on since the Xbox 360. There's still like a dedicated amount of games that are only on that storefront. They haven't gotten any sort of backwards compatible support or ports to modern platforms. I saw a list a little bit ago. I don't know how to find that exactly at the moment, but yeah, there are lists out there of like the exclusive stuff that has not been brought up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have to check for that stuff, because there definitely are some games on there that are worth grabbing if you can, but also at this point may not be really well worth it to get your Xbox 360 out and get, you know, controllers up and running and all that stuff. Because I've done that fairly recently in the past few years, and boy, is that a lot of work. Especially to make sure you have batteries for the controllers, and because I've tried to use like the play and charge kits that always died within a year. Kind of stuff, and like losing the battery compartments that that the the batteries were supposed to be put in, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So I think I had to resort to finding a wired controller to use so I could figure out what other problems I had, that kind of stuff. But the download manager is also pretty bad on those things.
Mm.
At this point, it moves incredibly slow. It shows like four or five things at a time. Which if you've, you know, bought enough Xbox 360 stuff, you could be looking at, you know, dozens of pages of scrolling through very slowly to find specific things.
Mm-hmm.
It was not built to be used in 2020 or 2023 even. It's a system, a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've moved to much faster and user-friendly systems since then. So, but yeah, there you go. End of the Xbox 360 storefront. Maybe I'll do a stream or two here over the next year, sort of looking back at some of that stuff, see how it holds up, especially trying to stream it at maybe 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe those games don't hold up that well. But yeah, I think that'll do it for the show this week. Thank you, Brandon, for joining.
Always.
We'll be back next week with more news, some stuff from Gamescom, as that'll be happening next week.
Mm-hmm.
Here, yeah, we'll be talking about more stuff. I'll probably put some more time into Baldur's Gate and figure out how much stuff I can steal from people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. If you enjoy the show, let friends and family know they should check out the show. And select strangers that maybe we'll play some co-op Baldur's Gate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the chaos that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.